To speak of Macedon is first to speak of its earth, its rivers, and its sky. Before the name Alexander meant anything to the world, before the Sarissa cast its shadow across Asia, the land itself was already ancient, carved by water, fortified by mountain ranges, and occupied by a hardy, often misunderstood collection of tribes, kings, and horsemen. The story of the Macedonian Empire does not begin with a single conqueror. It begins with geography, because in the ancient world, geography was destiny. And the geography of Macedon was unlike any other in the Hellenic world, fertile enough to support a warrior aristocracy, rugged enough to resist easy invasion, and positioned just obliquely enough to the great cities of the south that its people were forever treated as semi-barbarous cousins, until the day they proved themselves masters. To understand the early Macedonians, one must first unlearn a comfortable assumption. That ancient Greece was a unified nation with clear borders. It was not. Greece was a constellation of city-states, colonies, and tribal territories, often at war with one another, speaking different dialects, and worshipping the same gods in different ways. Macedon lay to the north, a wedge of territory that stretched from the Pindus Mountains in the west to the Thermaic Gulf in the east, and from Mount Olympus, the legendary home of the gods, in the south, up to the wild, forested highlands of Upper Macedon in the north. Today, this region straddles modern Greece, North Macedonia, Bulgaria, and Albania. But in the 8th century BCE, when our story properly begins, it was a place of deep valleys, fast rivers, and a climate that could freeze a man in winter and bake him in summer. The defining feature of Macedon was its division into two distinct zones: Lower Macedon and Upper Macedon. Lower Macedon, centered around the plain of Pieria and the coastal lowlands near the Haliacmon and Axios rivers, was the more fertile and accessible half. Here, the soil was deep enough for intensive grain cultivation. Here, the Macedonian kings would eventually build their first capitals, including Ege, modern Virginia, Kama, where royal tombs would later yield treasures that rivaled those of Mycenae. Lower Macedon was the face the kingdom showed to the Greek world, flat, open, and tempting to invaders from the south. Upper Macedon, by contrast, was a world of high plateaus, narrow passes, and isolated valleys known as lingoi, wolf-haunted places. The tribes of Upper Macedon, Lancestrians, Orestians, Elimiates, and Timphians, lived in semi-independent chiefdoms well into the 5th century BCE, recognizing the lowland king only when it suited them. Their wealth was not in grain but in horses, timber, and silver. Their loyalty was not to a nation but to a chieftain who could lead them in a raid and bring them home alive. The rivers of Macedon were its highways and its boundaries. The Haliacmon River, the longest in the region, flowed from the Pindus Mountains eastward into the Thermaic Gulf, watering the heartland of Lower Macedon. The Axios River, modern Vardar, Kama, cut a broader, more violent path from the north, carrying trade goods and invading armies alike down from the interior of the Balkans. To cross the Axios in flood season was to risk everything. To control its fords was to control movement between Macedon and its northern neighbors, Paeonians, Thracians, and Illyrians, all of whom the early Macedonians fought as often as they traded with. The Strymon River, farther east, marked the boundary with Thrace, and its valley was rich in gold and silver, which would later fund Philip II's rise. But in these early centuries, the rivers were as much enemies as allies. They flooded unpredictably. They bred mosquitoes carrying fevers. They separated communities as often as they connected them. The climate of early Macedon was a testing ground. Winters were cold enough to freeze the shallows of the Axios. Snow could seal the mountain passes of Upper Macedon for weeks, isolating villages and starving livestock. Summers were hot and dry, punctuated by sudden thunderstorms that turned riverbeds into torrents.